This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2021, Living Well in a Dying Age, with a lecture by Dr. Charles Yost entitled Papacy and Empire Between Ages.
The 6th century, the subject of our conference, was an era of transformation. When we're speaking about the fate of the Roman Empire, we are speaking of something greater than the rise and fall of political institutions, or the question of who's running them. We're speaking of the loss of a coherent civilization focused on the Mediterranean Sea, Mare Nostrum, in the expression of the Romans, its shattering into fragments divided by ethnicity, culture, and even creed. Barbarian invasions across the Rhine and Danube frontiers overwhelmed the western provinces and transformed them into, ultimately, stable hereditary monarchies ruled by a Germanic warrior elite. In the east, imperial authority sheltered behind the walls of Constantinople. It staved off Germanic takeover, only to see its very capital menaced by Turkic and Persian enemies. And it only just survived that challenge to see its best and most populous provinces in the east stripped from it by the disciples of Muhammad, whose followers established a caliphate stretching from the Himalayas in the east to the Pyrenees in the west. By degrees, at first gradually, but with ever-accelerating speed, the Roman world gave way to a Balkanized Middle Age, and the Mediterranean Sea, the thoroughfare of the Roman world, became a closed barrier and battleground between Christendom and the Dar al-Islam. Through all these fearsome and heart-rending dislocations, we may put our finger upon one pulse that continues all the way through without interruption. This is the papacy, the most long-lived continuous government in Western history, a remarkably anti-fragile entity with a tremendous sense of self-identity and a tenacious knack for survival. Whether she's loved or hated, the Church of Rome, the Scarlet Lady, deserves serious consideration, if for no other reason than for her ability to survive and even thrive amidst these dramatic geopolitical convulsions. So I'm saying that, in a rapidly transforming world, the papacy makes for a riveting case study in long continuity. But I'm an historian, and historians are professionally invested in change. Don't trust them too much when they try to divide and subdivide again history into neat epochs and eras, when they speak of paradigm shifts, of watersheds, or of crucibles. I had to get all that out of the way, to be honest. And yet, having said all that, I am going to stake out a claim for a pivotal date at which antiquity comes to an end and the Middle Ages begin. The year is 751, and the fulcrum upon which the era turned is nothing other than the Roman Church. So I did something historians don't often do, I guess. I spoke clearly, I hope I did. I pinpointed the date of shift and what the shift has to do with, the papacy, even after acknowledging that, to a certain extent, there is something artificial in this historical habit of cutting up time and stamping it with distinctive labels. I've hereby opened myself to all sorts of critiques and objections, and here's the place for modesty. What I'm asserting here isn't new by any means. No doubt some of you have a sense of what I have in mind when I pinpoint the year 751 as the crucial date of transition. That's because I'm essentially supporting an historiographical claim first made by the Belgian historian Henri Pirenne in 1916. According to Pirenne, the unity of the Roman world, which was based upon the unity of the Mediterranean Sea as Mare Nostrum, was not fundamentally disrupted by the barbarian invasions in the 5th century, but rather by the rise of Islam in the 7th century, an unexpected and sudden development that had ramifications, ultimately resulting in the rise of a stable and unified Frankish kingdom in the west under the authority of Charlemagne and his descendants, whom we call the Carolingians. Ever since Pirenne propounded this thesis, it's generated controversy, critique, and a variety of refutations. Certainly, Pirenne overlooked or downplayed a number of factors that trouble his thesis. And yet, for my money, Pirenne's general idea continues to have value, particularly if we look at the behavior of the Roman Church between the 5th and 8th centuries, a crucial period for the papacy's institutional and ideological development. I want to walk with you through a number of crucial moments in this story, focusing in on the